Let's bow our heads in prayer. Yes, Lord, your name is so great. And that we get to say your name, that we get to not just say your name, but that you are a God who loves us, that you 2,000 years ago came down here on this earth. You didn't have to, but you came out of heaven and you came down into the earth and you put yourself on that cross for us, Lord. And you didn't have to, but you still chose to. You know and you knew every single thing that we would do, every single sin that we would do, Lord. Whether it's on purpose or on accident, Lord, you knew it all. And yet you still chose to put yourself on that cross, Lord. And that's why we worship you in this place. Because you are a loving God who first loved us. And we want to give that love back to you. At times, we say thank you. I say thank you, Lord, and I recognize that's not enough. How can we possibly thank our God who willingly gave up his life for us? Who created us and still gave up his life for us. Lord, and so we come to you this morning with just a broken heart, a broken spirit, Lord, and we say thank you. Thank you that you did choose us and that you gave us a choice and that we can look to you and say, yes, Lord Jesus, you are our Lord and Savior. And with that simple word, we can be saved. Nothing that we do, nothing that we earn, but recognizing that you are our Lord and Savior, Lord. We are saved. And we will be with you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may go ahead and be seated for a minute. We're going to continue our time of worship. We're going to go into our 5 minutes of prayer. This is such an important part, I do believe, at our church, that we set aside this 5 minutes each and every Sunday. And we just look for ways to seek the Lord's heart. And I think that prayer is important, right? God hears each and every one of our prayers. And we're going to bring those prayers to God this morning. There's a list up there. You can confess your sin to God. If you're like, I have not been living right this week, this morning I did something that I should not have. Let's confess those sins to the Lord. You can thank God, right? We just sang a wonderful song thanking God for what a wonderful God he is. You can also just ask God to work in your heart and your mind today. And then the scripture that I read this morning was Proverbs 3:5. I encourage you to open up your Bible and read through that and pray through that this morning. If you want to stay in your seats and pray by yourself, you can do that. If you want to get up and pray with other people, I encourage you to do that as well. If you need prayer, I'm up here. I can pray with you, or Kevin's over there. You can pray with Kevin or any one of our elders as well. We'd love to pray with you this morning. So let's go into that 5 minutes of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this 5 minutes of prayer to kind of settle our minds, Lord, to focus on you and know that you are good, Lord. And that's why we do this time, to look to you. And we know that you hear our prayers and that you answer our prayers, Lord. They might not be the answers that we always want to hear, but we know that you are our God who does still answer prayers. So we lift up every single prayer to you, Lord, and we look to you for all of your goodness just to shine forth through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ethan, I'm not sure, the bass is kicking a lot of feedback up here. Can I turn that down? Is that okay? I just hear a lot of noise coming out of it. I'm not sure why. So. It's distracting. Thanks. That's better. Now I don't hear a shh in my ear. So this morning's going to look a little bit different. We're going to be going through and sharing a little bit about our mission trip. So there was 10 of us that went down to Costa Rica a week or so ago. We got back last Sunday, so we weren't able to join you Sunday for church. And we're going to be sharing about that a little bit. Before we do that, though, I want to look at our announcements. So Chrissy, if you could pull those up for us. We did have a Diving Deep study scheduled for tonight. We're going to cancel that. And we're going to maybe reschedule that sometime in the future, but that's going to be canceled for tonight. November 17th as well, there's a meeting for Church Care event. Sean's going to be leading that. That was scheduled, bless you, that was scheduled for today, but we decided to cancel that and schedule it for next week. And then November 24th, Operation Christmas Child, those shoeboxes are due as well. We try to send out anywhere between 60 to 100 shoeboxes every year. The youth group will get together. We'll pack a whole bunch of them as well and send those out. So if you could, I think we do have some boxes in the back. I'll double check with that and let you know for sure. And grab those and fill those up, and we'll send those out to the children that need those. But yeah, let's get ready to share our mission trip information because we're really excited about that. So there was a team of 10 of us. There was myself, there was Annalise, my daughter, Kevin, and his son, Caleb. And then there was Joanna, who's back there, Don, Leah, and then Brianna, who's not with us today, and Abby, who's not with us today, and then Colin, who was at our church, but he moved to Virginia just 3 or 4 months ago. So he actually came up here and then flew with us down there. So it was really, really good to have him. But you're going to get a chance to hear from each of them as well as me. So I'm just going to go through what did our time down there look like? Because I'm sure some of you want to know. You weren't able to be there. So you're like, what did it look like? Well, we gathered Saturday morning. And as we gathered Saturday morning here at the church, about 7 o'clock, there was, so Saturday. So we gathered here at the church about 7 o'clock. We got together, we prayed, and then we got sent off. We went to the Rochester airport. We left from there. We flew into JFK. And then once we were at JFK, we had about a five-hour layover. And that's where you'll see some of us sleeping on the ground or just relaxing because it was a long time down there. But it gave our team a time to come together and unite and talk about the trip and what we're looking forward to about that. So that was Saturday. We flew out then from JFK, and we arrived at the airport in San Jose. And that was about 9 o'clock at night. It picked us up. So that's 9 o'clock their time. They're 2 hours behind us, so it was really 11 o'clock. So we got there, and we were pretty tired. We had about an hour and a half, two-hour drive back to the base. So we got to the base pretty late. That was one of the pictures there. And we went to bed because we were tired. Sunday morning, we woke up. And once we woke up at 7 o'clock, we went down to Daniel's church. He has a church about an hour and a half away in good driving conditions. We've discovered that Costa Rica has traffic that I don't think any of us really liked much. We were stuck in traffic for lots of hours, many days. So we drove to Daniel's church, and we had just an amazing time. If you've never been to a church that speaks a different language than you, it's exciting, but it's challenging as well. Because people come up to you, and they start talking, you're like, yep, I don't know what you're saying, yep. And then they'll be like, oh, you don't speak Spanish. It's like, no, I don't speak Spanish. But they were so welcoming, little different culture. They're clapping and having fun and hanging out. So yeah, that was Sunday. And then we walked around a little bit Sunday around the village. This is on the way to the mission base. We were walking out and walking in. This was the church that we were at there, Daniel's church. And then I think there's more Annalise and I, and that's the front of the church. So the church is interesting. So you're looking that way, but then it also breaks way over to the left as well. And there's a big section there that people can sit down. And then that area there is the dining room. It's nice because it's about 60 degrees at night every night. And during the daytime, it gets up to about 75, 80 degrees every single day. And so you can eat outside for every single meal. So there's a covering over us there where we're eating, and it rained. If you're going to go to Costa Rica, I would recommend you not go during the rainy season because it rained a lot on us. Every single day, we got rain and rain and rain for hours, but it was still so enjoyable. We loved it. This is the city that we went where Daniel's church is located, Cartago. That behind that sign is an old Catholic church. They started building it, and as they were building it, an earthquake struck, and then they said, okay, let's rebuild this church up. So they started rebuilding it, and another earthquake struck, and they said, okay, we're done rebuilding this church. So it's just kind of an abandoned area, but it's really pretty inside. There's no roof or anything on it. And then that area on the right there, that is just a market where you can go, and you can buy all sorts of Costa Rican stuff. They sell all foods and vegetables and everything else there that you would want to buy. So, and then just the girls and the Costa Rican flag, if you've ever seen it. So as we're walking from his village each and every day, there's this bridge there that we have to walk across, and it sways back and forth on you as you're walking. You're up probably about 30 or 40 feet above the river. The river wasn't flowing too much when we were there, but at some points in time, Daniel did say that that river's been up to the bridge. They just rebuilt this bridge, I think, a couple of years ago. Before that, we could actually walk as we're walking down the road. There was an old concrete pad, and you can see some of the anchors there. Daniel said that bridge was wiped out. They had a pretty bad flood a couple years ago, and it just completely wiped out the bridge, so they had to rebuild this bridge. And this bridge was kind of neat. If you didn't take this bridge, if you didn't walk, it was about a five-mile drive all the way up and around to get back to where we were, and it took us about 3 minutes to walk there. So before that bridge was there, they really had quite a walk, quite an adventure to get to. And then that's the inside of that church that had been hit by an earthquake twice. So that's more of the market. And then that the picture up on the right, that's pretty small. That's the village there where Daniel lives. And then the market. And then Kevin and I are doing dishes. So, yep, even we do dishes. That's an old Catholic church. I guess it's fairly old, I think, but not super old. And you can look inside of it, and on the outside there's an area we walked down around, and there's a wall, and there people would put their water bottles underneath this water. There's water just coming out of the wall, and they call it the holy water. People come from all over the world, I guess, to drink this water, and Daniel's like, don't drink this water. It makes people sick. So Costa Rica, one of the nice things is I've been to Guatemala and Mexico, and you can't drink the water there. You'll get parasites and whatnot. It'll make you sick. But Costa Rica, you actually drink the water. They treat it, and it's actually pretty good for you. It's fine. But out of that wall, Daniel's like, don't drink it. It's not treated. It'll make you sick. So it's funny that people come from all over to drink this holy water that makes them sick. And then just the team and the bridge again. And then we had our own dog there, Kala. Daniel had his yellow lab. Kala loved us, and she, I think, was probably going to miss us the most when we left. We'll get into Monday in a second, but each and every day, so every day we'd wake up, we'd meet for our morning devotion time, we'd have someone on the team lead us through devotions, and then we'd do some worship songs, and then we'd talk about our day, what it's going to look like. And so each and every day was a little different. Some of the days were similar as well. At the evening as well, we had the devotions. Leah masterfully led us in some worship songs each and every night. And then someone else from the team would lead us through devotions, and we'd talk about our next day. That time, each and every morning, each and every night, was so important for us. It was a time for us to connect, and many of us said that that was our favorite time, or one of the favorite times for our trip that we had. So Monday was different, because Sunday was kind of, we got there, we rested a little bit, we went and visited Daniel's church. Monday was our first work day. So what did that look like for us? Well, for Monday, We got an opportunity to go into a public school. Daniel asked us, Kevin actually proposed, he's like, is there any way we can get into a school? And Daniel walked down, he's like, let me find out. So he walked down, talked to the principal, and he said, hey, is there any way we could, I've got a mission team coming, can we get into the school? And she burst into tears, and she was crying. She's like, these kids are frustrating me. She's like, I don't know how to reach them, they're acting up and doing all this and that. And she's like, I'd love to have your team come in, but it's a public school, right? How much can a mission team come and do with the kids? And so Daniel, you know, asked if we can do this, and absolutely. So we went down, we talked, we did a lesson on kindness. We used the Good Samaritan from the Bible, and we talked about kindness and how we should show kindness to the kids. So in a public school, we're reading the Good Samaritan out of the Bible and sharing the gospel with these kids. And it was such an amazing opportunity, because then as we talked to these kids, later on Tuesday, Daniel invited all these kids to his base on Tuesday. And so a lot of these kids then showed up to the base on Tuesday evening to get more of the gospel message. And we weren't in the public school at that point in time, so we could share more with them. So such an opportunity for Daniel as we built these relationships with them. Yeah, it was so good. Monday also, so we got to go to the school and teach. But then also around the base, Daniel needed a lot of work around the base. And so the kids, all of us that went, we started working on the base. Kevin, there's some great picture. It must be one of the next slides. This is at the school. Very different from what we are in a school. There's gates everywhere. The gate is completely locked at the school. If you want to get in, you have to wait for the principal or someone else to come and open up the gate for you. There's a drainage ditch literally going down. You can see it on both sides of the church there, going down, or the school, going down through the middle of the school. So definitely very different than what we have. There was a rooster right next to us crowing the whole time as we're trying to talk. Trucks and cars going right by because the highway is right there. Some bugs, some interesting bugs we definitely saw. And then this was our work day. Rihanna and Annalise, they were in charge of cleaning the benches and the tables, made them look really nice. And then Daniel asked if they could paint or write some scriptures. They did them both in English and in Spanish on the benches there. And then Kevin working away, cleaning up, painting that area. And then some other people on the team were doing some cleaning up around the base. And then Kevin is up on the roof up there. You can see him. I think someone said that was their favorite picture that they saw was Kevin up on the roof. He came back, and the roof was like a tin roof that was red. And his legs, his pants, and his shoes were all red after that. And then Don and I, we got charge of a special project. One of the ladies down there, grandmother, who has been talking with Daniel a little bit, she has four grandchildren staying with her, living with her. And she has a pretty small house. She had a bedroom where they were just kind of all piled in together. So Don and I decided to build some bunk beds for the lady. And so we got to go to Lumberyard. And you go to Lumberyard and you're like, okay, this is very different. It's not like Lowe's where you just go and pick out your lumber. You go to Lumberyard and you ask them, like, I'm going to do this, this, and this. I need this measurements. And so they say, okay, thanks. And you come back like an hour later, and they've got it all cut and sanded for you. And they actually delivered it for us since we didn't really have a truck or anything to get it. And so it was neat just to see a difference in the community. And so that was Monday. We started all that. Tuesday, here's Leah, cleaning up in one of the rooms. In that room there was all sorts of bins that were stacked really high, and so they started cleaning them out and making sure that if there's some stuff that we didn't need, we threw it away. And then also the bats would come in that room, and they would poop all over everything. So we cleaned everything up, and then we also put up a metal mesh up above the roof so that way the bats couldn't come in anymore, and hopefully they'll keep it clean. So that was one of our big projects as well. Here's some of the team. We had a lady from Mexico join us, and that's the lady there in the center with the red shirt on. And then Daniel's dad is over on the right-hand side, on the left-hand side, I guess. It is the right-hand side, but as I'm looking. So Daniel's dad, he got to pull out some machetes, and this area where they're standing, I think there's a picture later on, was completely filled in. It was a jungle, right? We're in the middle of the rainforest. You could not walk through this area. And so his dad just went to town with a machete and was whacking things like this big. He was just whacking them away and cleaning them up. So the rest of the team then had to go through and clean up everything and throw it over down by the river. So his dad was in charge of that. He was a worker. Yeah, he was a worker. And then fresh fruit, the watermelon there that they're eating. A lady at the front, you can see her top of her face. That's Daniel's mom. She was our cook for us, one of our cooks. Amazing food. We loved the Costa Rican food. Lots of rice and beans and then some kind of protein to go with it. So usually chicken or pork or something along those lines. And so just a great time that we had. Wonderful cook. And then Tuesday. So Tuesday was filled with cleaning, organizing, building, and painting as well. And then we had the kids come in the afternoon to the base where we got to work with them. Joanna did a wonderful lesson on the importance of our fingerprints and how God is such a loving God. He designed all of our fingerprints uniquely. And then if he pays that much attention to our fingerprints, how much more do you think that God pays attention to us as an individual? And so she presented that with the kids. Then they got to use their fingerprints. We took ink pads, and they got to make some kind of design picture on the piece of paper that they had in front of them. I think mine was probably the best. But so Joanna did a great job leading us in that lesson and just reinforcing our uniqueness as individual of who we are and that God loves each of us. That was a lot of Tuesday. On Wednesday, I'll look flash through the pictures here first, then get into Wednesday. We played lots of games with the kids. The kids love games. We had about 2 hours with them each day. Here's Don and I working on the bunk beds, making them and creating them. It was a little hard still at that point in time. I wouldn't recommend sleeping on a bunk bed like that. And then at the end of each time that we had with the kids, we also had a session of small group time, where we got to interact with the kids and ask them, what did you think about the message? You know, how did God make you? What are some of your strengths and weaknesses? And Rihanna, the girl up on the right hand with the gray shirt on and the red dress there, she loved this time. That's when we saw her thrive. She was all about it. We'll get into a little bit more of why Rihanna's not with us. But Colin, the same lady that we built the bunk beds for, Colin and then someone else each day would go down and paint the kids' room for them. Just the joy that this brought from Colin doing this. And he got to interact with the kids. And I've never seen Colin so excited and happy as he was this week as he was there. So then Wednesday was more of the same work day in the morning. We had a lot of that work time. But then Wednesday afternoon, we got a surprise. And I told the team before we went, like, we're going to set up our schedule, right? But be ready for it to change, because we don't know how things could change each and every day. And so on Wednesday evening, Daniel told us that he's going to have this group, this local group that's going to come in of these older teenagers. We're like, yeah, absolutely, bring them in. Well, Daniel shared with us that 60% of the teenagers in Costa Rica end up getting in the sex trade somehow, some way. And so what they do is they have this organization that reaches these kids, and they found out that the more the kids are involved with religion, the less likely they are to get involved with the sex trades, whether they're either sex trafficked or other ways, however they might get involved with it. At times, it's a hopelessness, and so they look for a way out. So for many of these kids, that's their way out. And so that was obviously heartbreaking, but Daniel said that this group is bringing them to his base. And so we got to work with these kids as we're working with them and talking about them and sharing the gospel with them. For the guys, we had, I think it was six teenage boys with us, and five out of the six teenage boys had dropped out of school by the time that they're in eighth grade. And it's just, that was one of those moments of like, yeah, they need Christ more than anything else, right? No matter what we do here, we're going to bring them Christ and bring them the hope that they can have. And continue, hopefully, that's an opportunity for Daniel then to build on that relationship that we were there for. So that was an amazing opportunity, one of those moments that we weren't expecting, but that we got, and the team adjusted and flowed with it just like I asked them to. There's Daniel. A hummingbird had actually flown into one of the windows and sunned itself, so Daniel was able to pick it up and hold on to it and put it away, and it flew away later on. But here's one of our team meetings that we do. No, I'm not sleeping there. I was wide awake. Here we are painting the bunk beds for the girls, and you can see my paintbrush is right next to Annalise. We're posing for the picture, and I did not do this on purpose. As we posted for the picture, they took the picture, and then she turned right after the picture, so that's why she's got paint on her face there. And that's a picture of Daniel's dad there just chopping away on one of the plants. Some food. Leah's eating. You're welcome, Leah. Thursday was pretty much the same. Thursday morning, we had lots of work time. And then Thursday afternoon, the kids from the village came back and were able to work with them. And Leah led us through a lesson of that. And I'm sorry, Leah, I forgot what your lesson was about already. That's right. You did the rope trick. The rope trick, and she shared the gospel. If you've never seen Leah's rope trick, ask her to show you sometime what the rope trick is and how the gospel is important to us. So here's some pictures from Thursday. We finished up some of the projects, like the bunk beds, and then there's Leah doing her lesson with the rope trick. A picture of Daniel. And then we taught the kids how to play foursquare. They seemed to enjoy it for the most part. That was after the kids had left. We're playing. I think Don really enjoyed foursquare a lot. There the kids are playing foursquare with us. And then just the dog, Kala. And then Friday was our day off, where we got to, after all week of working and sharing the gospel, we went to a nature preserve, and they had a series of three waterfalls that we were able to see and driving up through there. And it was in the middle of the rainforest, so guess what it did all day when we were there? It rained for us. But it's beautiful nonetheless. And as we were sitting there, I was like, you know, I was praying for God to clear up the rain so we could really see the valley and see the mountains and see the volcanoes in the background. And as I'm praying, I felt God say, but without the rain, you wouldn't see the beauty around us. And I was like, yes, Lord, absolutely. Sometimes we need that rain, right? Most people don't enjoy sitting through a rain that's showering down on you, making you drenched and soaked. But without that rain, you wouldn't have the beautiness around us. And so, like, yeah, absolutely, God, we need that rain to make this look as beautiful as it does. And so we got to see a sloth. I love the sloth right above Don's head there. He's pointing to the sloth. We're able to walk in and see it. The butterfly, they had a huge butterfly museum. And then, a jaguar? Yeah, thank you. I was going to say cheetah. I was like, cheetah's not right. And there's looking across the valley. You can see all the rain and mist, some cows that they had there. The leaves, look at the size of those leaves that Don was standing next to. We got to walk in next to a toucan. There was a whole area of them, and see the toucans. Lots of different birds that we have that we don't have here that they had there. Some snakes. Those were in cages, so don't worry. We were safe. They had an area of orchids where orchids just grow. Lots of different flowers that we don't see. And then Saturday was our last day there. And Saturday morning, the local kids came back, and we were able to see the kids and share the gospel with them. I did a lesson with them, and just was able to show the gospel with them and present the gospel more to them. So here's some more pictures there. And then we did for each of the kids, they made a bracelet. We talked about how Jesus is their friend. And so on their bracelets that they made, they put their name, and then they used colored beads around it. And then they made a paper plate, and it kind of like a spin wheel, and it said, Jesus is. And then there was, I think, 12 characteristics, and one of them was, Jesus is my friend. Jesus is a living God. Jesus is other things that we had on there. So they made those. And so hopefully every time they look at their bracelet, they'll remember that Jesus loves them, that Jesus is their friend. And then for Saturday afternoon, I treated the group out to time of lunch. We went to a local restaurant there, and they were super excited. There was a big map up on the wall, and you could write on the map where you were from. So they wanted our picture since we were a large group. And then there's Daniel and Andy. Andy was from Daniel's church. He decided to join us to help us translate as we're talking with the kids each and every day as well. And then just the city as we're going back. And then Saturday evening, we got to the airport, and this was a God moment, a huge God moment for us. As the leader, we got on the van to head towards the airport, and I said, okay, does everyone have their passport? And everyone's like, yep, we got it. And I said, okay, show them to me. And everyone pulled them out and showed them to me, but one person on our team, Abby, didn't show it to me. And Don said, oh, don't worry about it. I'm sure it's in your bag somewhere. But it's my fault, too, because I got that Holy Spirit moment of like, I should go check the girls' cab and make sure there's nothing left on the floor. And so we got to the airport. I'm like, okay, everyone pull out your passport because we're going to need them. And everyone's pulling out their passport. And Abby's like, I can't find my passport. And I'm like, oh, great. What are we going to do? Like, I'm going to have to stay here with Abby for the next 3 or 4 days. We're going to have to go to the U.S. Embassy to get her a new passport. And so I wasn't freaking out, but I was having a moment of like, okay, let's adjust and go with it. And so we tried to call Daniel. His phone wasn't on. He wasn't answering it. And usually he goes back to the airport with the teams, but he decided to stay back at the base this time. He's like, I just don't want to go back and have to deal with tears and crying. He's like, I just didn't want to deal with that. He's like, it's such an emotional moment for me. I wanted to stay at the base. So he decided to stay at the base. And luckily, Kevin, just before we had left, has gotten Andy's number. And so he's able to call Andy and say, Andy, hey, are you with Daniel? And he's like, yeah, he's right here. And so Kevin was able to connect with Daniel and say, hey, we can't find Abby's passport anywhere. Can you look for it? And so he went to the girls' cabin right away, and he found it. He's like, I've got it. It's right here. But the traffic is horrible. We're like, there's no way he's going to get her passport in time for us. Because we got there early. We left way earlier than what we needed to. Because the day before, the nature preserve, it was about a two-hour drive. It took us 4 hours there and 4 hours back, just going through the traffic. So the airport was in good traffic about an hour and a half away. We're like, there's no way that he's going to be able to get it to us. On a Saturday evening, the traffic's going to be crazy. But he's like, I'm jumping in the van right now. An hour and a half later, he had the passport for us at the airport. And so we're like, thank you, God, that everything worked out the way it did. So we're able to get checked in and on time for our flight, no problem at all. And then Sunday, we got back at JFK, and then we flew home to Rochester. Such an amazing trip for us. And each of the team members are going to come up and share with you. So I asked them to kind of think about three questions. The first question is, why did you go on the mission trip? So why did you go? Second question is, where did you see God's glory? And that's a question that we answer, we talked about each and every evening. Where did you see God's glory? And we were able to share that. And then, what did you get out of the mission trip? And just other little nuggets of information that they might have for you. So we're going to have the team come on up. So Annalise, why don't you come on up first? You can share. No, I mean, you can all come up, but so. And I reminded the team to, when they talk, to hold the microphone up nice and close to them so that way we can all hear them nice and loud. And they're going to share those three nuggets for you. I'm not going to remember the question. What was the first question? Why did you go on this mission trip?
Okay, I went on this mission trip because I wanted to share the glory of God with all these kids. And it's just, they don't get this that often, and they don't know about Jesus. So it was just really cool to share it with them. Am I going to?
Where did you see God's glory?
I saw God's glory in our teammates. And, like, if someone was having a problem with something, we'd help them. Like, one day, Abby got sick, and she was going to go paint at someone's house. But instead of painting, she stayed back, and someone else went. And we made sure that Abby was okay, and Daniel's mom, she made some tea for Abby, which is really nice and sweet.
And then, what did you get out of this?
I got a closer relationship with God, and I gained some older sisters. don't know, it was just really cool to go there and have some fun and share the gospel with some kids.
Hello. So the first question was why I went, and originally I planned to go just for the connections and the ministry, but the Lord revealed to me a lot more than that. It wasn't just doing ministry, but also just learning to be in fellowship with Him. And so one thing Daniel said was, you came to be blessed and you were blessed. And I think that was a highlight for all of us, that we came to bless people, but we were also blessed through that. And that was amazing to see. I saw God's glory through our team. I mean, the unity was just amazing. God really blessed us in that way. And we had amazing talks with each other. And, you know, when we were with the kids, we all just chipped in. If someone was struggling, we were there to help them. And we just were, we had each other's backs in that way. And I just got some great fellowship out of this trip. And some great, we did a lot of great work. And all glory to God. So,
everybody, I'm Joanna. I came on this trip because Leah was like, my church is doing a mission trip to Costa Rica. I'm like, cool. God, and she's like, you can come. I was like, cool. So God had kind of been putting on my heart the desire to go on an overseas mission trip. And then, like, not long after that, Leah mentioned this trip. So I was like, well, I don't know why I wouldn't go. I am in full-time ministry here in the United States, and so I wanted to have the opportunity to do ministry overseas and just kind of see what that was like. And it was just the most phenomenal experience. I mean, these guys already mentioned somewhat, like, the unity that our team had was, like, unbelievable. I've never experienced it ever anywhere to that extent, and it was just absolutely incredible. So that's how I would say that a major way that I saw God's glory was just the unity that He desires for us to have as Christians was on display in this trip, in the way that our team worked together. We fellowshiped together, we worshiped together, we prayed together, we worked together, we served together, we laughed together, and it was so, so beautiful, just that picture of the unity that God has in the Trinity, and then the unity that He wants to have with us, and the unity He wants His church to have with each other. So, I mean, God just blew me away in that. I know they mentioned that already, but, like, God just blew me away in that. So, what was the last question, Kevin? Or, sorry, Josh. He got my name wrong earlier, so payback. What did I get out of the trip? Well, I will say that it was an absolutely fantastic experience, and I wasn't really, like, I was already, you know, very, what's the word I'm looking for? I knew that God had me to be a missionary in the United States. God had called me to be a missionary in the United States, and He just kind of solidified that through this trip. I absolutely loved everything that we did, but it was a challenge because of the language barrier. And so I was just so grateful that I have the opportunity to be a missionary in the United States, where we have that first language in common and we have the same culture. And already so many barriers are just, they don't exist because of that same culture. And so that was a huge blessing. And then just fellowship, new friends, new connections, not only in Costa Rica, but with the missionary from Mexico. It was so fun to work with her as well. And just it's an amazing, amazing trip. So I'm very grateful that I got to go on it. God taught me a lot.
Hey, everybody. Kevin. I went to this trip initially because of the calling to go and make disciples. I think that's the main purpose. And also, you know, wanted to go with my son, which was such a special moment for us. But, yeah, that's what drove me. But as I think both Leah and Joanna said, it obviously changed, and I realized a lot more that why I went on this trip was God worked in my heart a lot, and that was really, really cool. I saw the glory of God in so many ways. I could share 10 of them or more, but the first one I wanted to share was the food. God's glory was extra on the food there. It was the food. I loved it. Part of the problem was I ate everybody else's food that they didn't want. So I think I gained like 5 pounds, but it was amazing. But no, a little less silly. I grew a lot individually, had a lot of really special times with the Lord. When you go somewhere, especially somewhere unique and different and really beautiful, like Costa Rica is, it's incredible just to escape and like Jesus did, right? He says he often withdrew to lonely places and had time with God. And that was just one of the most special things, to be able to go out early in the morning, and it's beautiful out. Sorry to make you all jealous of our time there, but to just go out into the beauty of the creation and just look out and see the glory of God, and to spend time praying and seeking God's face was really, really special. I also saw it in how we supported Daniel in his ministry. It was really great. Josh already shared a lot about how Daniel's doing a great work. We love, as a church, supporting Daniel. And it was great just to come alongside of him and see how God uses the whole church to bless others. And I think we were a real blessing to Daniel. He was so glad that we were there. And so I see how God glorifies his name through coming alongside people and supporting and encouraging what the good work that they're doing. And then what I got out of the trip, yeah, a lot of encouragement. A lot of encouragement to support Daniel's ministry and to continue there. Obviously the fellowship of this team I think was phenomenal, as you know, has already been said. And so just a general encouragement, I think, to keep going, you know, and to keep doing these kinds of things, to keep living for Christ and his purposes and his kingdom. So yeah.
So I went on this trip because I just wanted to just grow with God and just spend time with him more. And just to serve to the kids too, because they don't know the Lord, and that's what we're called to do. And just let's see, what are the questions? Oh yeah, so I really saw God's glory just seeing the nature down there. I really enjoyed it. It was really beautiful down there. If you saw like the waterfalls and the pictures, and just I also just saw a lot of the glory of God in our team, and I just saw a lot of encouragement one day when I was cleaning up the gutters, and almost everyone in our team came up to me and just said, "You did a great job. It just looked like as if you painted it." And I just really liked that. And what I got out of the trip is just to do it again and just want to go on more missions trips and stuff. Yeah.
All right, so what did I get out of it? Or why did I go? Sorry. First off, my heart is for, like, helping. That's my spiritual gift. So my main reason was to help Daniel in the missions base, whatever needs to be done. And I also enjoy going on adventures and exploring God's creation. So that was a big driver. God's glory. Seeing the faces of the girls that we built the bunk bed for, that was precious. And just, this is this little one, I don't know, what was she, like 3, running around. She'd open the door and close the door for us. And she was just, yeah. And she just really, just the smile on her face. Another one was Daniel, and his love for the kids was just amazing to me. The way that he connected with those kids, just really, just so God-honoring, and just his love for them. It was really great to see. Also, you know, seeing God's glory in nature, and the beautiful, you know, in some of the pictures, and just how beautiful his creation is. And then what did I get out of it? The satisfaction of being able to help with the base and with the bunk bed and just all that we did, and clearing the brush, and being able to spend a whole week not worrying about work, not worrying about stuff around our house, just being able to really bask in God and his glory. And This group was just completely, it was so much fun. The smiles and the joking that we had, it was just so much fun. So, it was a great experience.
Yeah. Thank you, team, for sharing. And then Colin is down in Virginia, so he's not here with us today. But he did send me an email, and so I'm going to just read some highlights of it. So why did Colin go on the mission trip? He felt led by God to grow and step out of his comfort zone. And to by doing this, he was able to rely on God more during the trip. Where did and how did he see God's glory? He said during this trip, he saw God's glory in many places. At La Paz Park, where we went to, just seeing the intricate detail of every single item that God has created, all the animals and plants, and how they all coexist. And then seeing how Daniel was pouring out into the community, pouring the love of Jesus out to the people there. And then what did Colin get out of this trip? During this trip, he learned the importance and power of evangelism. Even though his Spanish was not that great, none of our Spanish, we don't know Spanish, but we could still just communicate with the people there. And especially, I think of the Sunday morning when we're there at Daniel's church and worshiping God. It doesn't matter that we speak English, that they spoke Spanish. We're all worshiping the same exact God. And that language is not a barrier for us, but together we're able to come together and see the beautiness that God gave us through that worship time. He learned that God's love is universal, that there's no language barrier. It was a blessing to share God's love with the kids by playing games with them and interacting with them. God encouraged Colin in so many ways to be bold for Christ and trust in him alone and not let fear or anxiety have control. Colin was worried about the food because he can be a picky eater at times. But as he was there, he realized that that's nothing to worry about. Like, God's going to provide for him. And so that was an opportunity for Colin to grow. And then for me, why did I go on the mission trip? And that was a question that the Sunday before we left, I was sitting here in church and I met someone and she's, hey, come here. Can I ask you a question? I'm like, yeah. She goes, you're going on a mission trip coming up, right? Yep. Why are you going on a mission trip? Like, why would you go to Costa Rica? And as I was processing through that, I had to think of an answer pretty quick, right? Like, why am I going to Costa Rica? For me, I have felt called to go on short-term mission trips. I know that God has put that on me. I don't believe I'm meant to be a long-term missionary overseas or anything like that, but I'm also meant to be a missionary right here where I live, right? That's part of my job as a pastor. But then all of you, every single one of you are meant to be a missionary where you are, whether it's at work, whether it's out in the community, whether you're watching a football game with some friends. You're meant to be a missionary where you are. And to me, what I love about the short-term mission trips is that we can go there, and as I'm there, I get to see how we come together as a team and build up our confidence. And I know when I come back to America, like, I just spent that week where I was able to focus on God, as Don said, focus on God solely. I don't have the worries of the world around me. I don't have the worries of the home. I don't have the worries of my job, but I get to focus on God and that time and let him pour into me while I'm pouring into the people there. We read this book just before we left, Go Well, and the very first chapter it says that you are called to go well, but the biggest impact you're going to have when you're on a mission trip is not for the people there. You're going to see them a week out of their life, and that's all. They might remember it, they might not, but the biggest impact you're going to have is on you yourself. And so I go on these mission trips not because I'm selfish and I want to impact myself, but I go on these trips because I do want to grow and I do want to focus on God. And I come back knowing, having the confidence to know that if I can share the gospel with these strangers I've never met before, I can certainly share the gospel with people around me that I know and love. So that's why I go on these short-term mission trips. Where did I see God's glory? It's been repeated. I saw it in all of our teammates. Whether it's Don working on the bunk bed, because that's what he's called to do. I saw it in Kevin giving up on whatever he's working on and focusing on that one task, whether it's changing out lights or getting up on a roof to clean things off. I saw it in Caleb cleaning the gutters the one day. The gutters were filthy. And I came back, I'm like, Caleb, what did you do to those gutters? It looked like he painted them. They were so clean. I saw it in Leah, the way that she led us each and every day with worship music. I saw it in Joanna, the way that she is called uniquely to where she is and talk about pro-life, but then take that as well and transfer it down to the kids down there and how we're uniquely made. I saw it in Brianna. You guys don't know Brianna. she called me up about a month ago. She said, hey, I hear you're going to Costa Rica. Can I go with you? And I'm like, I've never met you before. let's talk a little bit and figure this out. She was feeling called to go on a trip to Costa Rica in January or February. She's like, I'm friends with Joanna and Leah. Is there any way I can just go with you? I'm like, well, let's talk about that a little bit. She ended up joining us about a month ago, and she stayed down in Costa Rica. She's there right now. She's going to stay down there for the next 2 or 3 months because she wanted to spread the gospel with people there. And then I saw in Abby and the way that she interacted with every single person that she came in contact with, and Colin, the way that he just went to work. He's never painted before, but he went back day after day after day painting those walls, and that's what God has called us to do. I saw it in the way that Annalise interacted with the kids and the way that she just loved them. And that's what we're called to do. That's who we are. We are Christ's ambassadors. We bring the light forth through us. So that's where I saw God's glory. And I saw it in just the beautiness around us as well. And what did I get out of this mission trip? I got so much out of it. I don't even know where to begin to share with that. Just so much. I loved every moment of it. I loved the team. What did I get out of the mission trip? I got out of it that I want every single person to go on a mission trip at some point in time. I don't believe that it's a matter of should I go on a mission trip. I think it's a matter of when. When should you go on a mission trip? We are called to go on mission trips. And absolutely, focus on the mission field that you're at, but also at some point in time in your life, try to go on a short-term mission trip. It will change you drastically. You will never be the same ever again. So I encourage every single person, when the next opportunity comes up, jump and pray and see if it's the right time for you. I've got one more short video that Daniel sent us that he's going to share, and then Kevin's going to come on up. Or before Kevin, we're going to go to our last worship song, and then Kevin will come up.
Worship team, you come on up. We're going to pray in just a second. Daniel, just so you know, he said that there is no other church that supports him. We're the only church that supports him as a missionary. And even his local church where he goes to, they don't support him because they don't believe in supporting the missionaries that are there in Costa Rica. So that breaks my heart, obviously, but also excites me knowing that we do support him. So we're so grateful for that. So let's pray, and then we'll worship our Lord through a song. Lord, we thank you so much that we are able to go on this mission trip, that this team of us, that this church sent us there, that we're able to support Daniel as well as he's on his mission trip there, Lord, always and constantly on that mission, building those relationships and knowing that you're leading him and guiding him, Lord. May you just continue to work through him. And Lord, may you just build in each of our hearts that desire to be able to go on mission trips, Lord, and then provide for us when we do want to go. Lord, we thank you that you are a loving God who loves each and every one of us so strongly and that we can love you back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.